to our message this morning. One, the power of a unified church. The power, Acts chapter 1, the power of a unified church. There's no children's church. Yeah. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Let's go to our Heavenly Father. Lord, as we consider this phrase, one accord, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, guide and direct us, and I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. What is the power of one? Well, it really depends, huh? So if you're a sports fan and you go to your favorite college or university, from the university of your favorite, here come the Fighting Hornets, and out of the tunnel comes one football player. What are you thinking of that situation? Is that intimidating, or is the other team going, oh no, their one player came out. Boy, are we in trouble. Probably not, all right? Or you go to a graduation party, and they say the graduate is now going to cut the cake, and they bring it out, and the cake is one piece, all right? What are you thinking of the power of one so far, okay? Not a lot of intimidation going on there. But what if an emergency, what if a natural disaster happens in a community, say a smaller community, 2,000-3,000 people, and there comes out a call from the local Red Blood Association, Red Cross, we need blood for all these people who have been injured. And you say, you know what, I think I'll go down to the Red Cross and give blood. And you go down there, and there's a line a mile long, half a mile long. And you look, and why are you here? I'm here to get blood for the disaster that happened last night. And you go on, and you look down there, and everybody is there for the same reason. They're there because the Red Cross and their community need some what? They're all there. That whole community has joined together as one to raise some awareness and to produce some blood. Now that gets a little more on the powerful side. And then what if you consider something that is literally going on here in Ashland County? There is an awakening among grown adult men that there's something going on with our young adult men, our young boys, that isn't good. They're being trapped by the philosophy of our world. And they're not having a proper Christian male role model influence in their life. And like a bunch of spiritual minutemen, there are several men who have come to this realization, these young men need some mentors. Now, all of us, as we're growing up, especially we get into our 30s and 40s, we have a mental image of what 50, 60, and 70 is going to look like. And we have our ideas of what we're going to be doing. And many of these men have put that idea on hold because they see that something is going on that needs to be taken care of. And they're coming together from various different churches, Bible-believing churches, and they're coming together as one unit to help young men. That gets powerful. And we've seen this from our part of the world, right? We've all seen the Amish barn raising. Everybody pulls in on a morning in the Amish community. There's a barn that needs to be raised. And all these men and families come. And they start out, they have nothing but the wood, and you come back at the end of that day, and what's there? A barn. That's pretty impressive, and we've all seen the postcard at our local shop that has that image of there, all the Amish scattered out on that barn frame, making that come together. So depending on what you're talking about, one can be very impressive. One can get a lot of things done if you consider the context of that one. So, what was the one thing on the church, the early church's mind? Let's put on our make-believe lenses this morning. What if there was a gadget that we could hold up and just scan thoughts? What if I had a little ray gun, had a little screen? I don't dare touch this because I'll ruin it. But what if I could go like this and it would tell me what was on your mind? And then I would say, ready, set, go. And without any contribution by yourself, you would go and do the thing that's on your mind. You would just get up and go do the thing that you're thinking about right now. And who knows what would happen. But this is what would have happened in the early church. If we would have said, ready, set, go, and go do what was on your mind, you know what would have happened? The great majority of those people would have ended up at the same place doing the same thing. They were one. And don't fall into this trap. Pastor Grover, life was so much simpler back then. There was less distractions. And yeah, no wonder they didn't have this going on and that going on. Don't go there. Do you remember why Paul, we studied this in 1 Corinthians 16. Do you remember why Paul is taking up offerings for the people in Jerusalem? Because there's at least one thing going on. What was going on? There's a famine, and then there's Roman oppression. So they don't even know. These people that have one thing on their mind, you have to understand, they don't have a refrigerator that has this week's groceries in it. They have nothing. Tomorrow's not planned for at all. Whatever they get tomorrow is what they're eating tomorrow. And they don't have a choice. Whatever the Roman leader of their vicinity is going to tell them to do, that's what they're going to do. But what they're thinking and what they want to do, if you were to have them say, one, two, three, go, ready, set, go, they would all end up at the same place. There was one focus. Now, we, and I mentioned this at the beginning of this church service, we last year came really close to having one thing on our mind. About this time last year, it was settling in. This COVID virus isn't going anywhere. And a lot of people, rightfully so, had that on their mind. So if I had that scanner last year and was able to scan minds, I wouldn't be shocked to find if it gave me the top five thoughts of each person that COVID was there. But now we have, those restrictions are going away, and we're going to have a lot more freedom. We're going to have a lot more opportunities to do different things. And what I want to caution us against is not losing sight of the one thing that needs to be on our mind. You can have those other things on your mind, but they can't be at the top of the list. There's got to be one thing at the top of the list. And underneath that one thing, your other things need to fall in line. Because we can't go through the summer celebrating additional freedoms and forget the one thing that we need to be grateful and mindful of. So that's what I want to be focusing on here. And here's this one phrase that we want to consider for this summer. Acts 1:14, we read it. These all continued with, what's the next two words? One accord. It's a compound word. It's two words in English, but it's a compound word. In prayer and supplication, and we looked at that, that homothumaden. Homo, same. Famous, passion. They all had the same what? They all had the same passion. Now, I like what Pastor Boyd. Pastor Boyd is a pastor. He went home to be with the Lord down in Greenville, South Carolina, Mount Calvary Baptist Church. He was pastor there a long time ago. He was the epitome of one of those individuals that just oozed wisdom. He said this, "What you think will not move you, but how you feel about what you think will move you." You think a lot of things like I think a lot of things. But I don't do all those things I think. I do the things that I'm passionate about what I think. And that's what drives you, your passions. We've all seen them, all right? We've seen the individuals that train and run hundreds of miles a week. Some run hundreds, 100 miles a day. Why are you doing that? Because they have passion about it. We've seen people that do musical instruments. They play it 10, 12, 14 hours a day. Why are you playing your musical instrument 12, 14 hours a day? Because they have a passion about it. We've seen people that go to school and they have 14 doctorates, 400 master's degrees. Why do you do that? Because they have a passion about it. We see farmers out there 5 in the morning till 2 o'clock in the morning as well, working 15, 20, 30 hours nonstop. Why are they doing that? Because they have a what? They have a passion. So we're not talking what these early Christians, we're not talking about what they know. They knew a lot. You know a lot, all right? Many of you have been in Bible-believing churches since the day you were born. You know a lot, but we're trying to discern what is your passion. When it says one accord, it doesn't mean they could all pass the same exam and get the answers right because they knew the answers. It's because they had the same passion. And this morning, what we need to be focused on this summer, when all these other distractions start coming up, because we're going to be able to go to the family reunion, we're going to have weddings and receptions with large groups, we're going to have graduations, we're going to have the company picnic, we're going to have fishing outings, we're going to have this outing, we're going to have that outing, is that we don't lose our passion. Because that's what happens when we get distracted. We can lose our passion. These all continued, it says one accord, but the word is, they all had the same what? They all had the same passion. And so when the pastor would have gotten up and said, ready, set, go, they all ended up at the same spot because they all had the same, they all had the same passion. All right? Now, how's that happen? How do so many diverse people end up agreeing on the same thing? You know, if I said, what did you think about some of the restrictions that happened during the pandemic, and even in a size of this 30-some people here this morning, how many different answers do you think I'm going to get? A ton, right? Some may have agreed with this, but not with that. Some may have agreed with this other thing. Some of you may have all agreed that you didn't think any of it was right. Some of you may all agreed you thought all of it was right. I don't know. We'd have all kinds of differing opinions. I'm just trying to get us to see we have different opinions, and to get us to agree, let's agree on 5 things you agree about what happened during the pandemic. How long do you think we'd have to sit here to hash that out, to get 5 things we all agreed upon? A long time. So you have that same diversity among all these people, but when it's the right topic, with the right passion, with the right influence, it doesn't take that same amount of time to get everybody to agree on the same thing. Why is that in Christianity? John 16:13 is your answer. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of, this is important, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all what? So if you're being guided by truth, I'm being guided by the same truth, she's being guided by the truth, and you're being guided by the truth, where are we going to all end up? At the same spot. And I know I've shared this before, but it just amazes me when you're in a patient's room, and I don't care if I'm in Cambridge or in Mansfield or if they put me in Timbuktu. When you go into a patient's room and it's another Christian, you start throwing out key phrases and key words and you start latching onto them. And then all of a sudden you look at each other and you both realize that they're a Christian and you're a Christian. And you start talking about the things that belong to who? Because it's the same truth. We may disagree on our favorite sports team. We may disagree on political matters. We may disagree on this, that, or other thing. But when it comes to the major thing, we all agree on it. It's because it's the spirit of truth. Now, a spirit-filled church is made up of people who all have the same thing on their what? Why? Why do we have the same thing on our minds? Because we have the same spirit leading us to the same what? To the same truth. There's no way a church is unified when you say, ready, set, go, and they scatter 1,000 different directions. Something's not right. That's not God leading them. Now, not scattering in 1,000 different ministry directions. I mean just scattering them in 1,000 different directions. The spirit of truth's not going to do that to a group. And they didn't do it to the early church. They all ended up at the same place doing the same thing because it was the same spirit leading them. Now, I'm not saying you and I can't vary in our hobbies and this, that, or thing, but when it comes down to a core thing, we're all on the same page. We're all wanting to do the same thing, maybe a variation in how we get it done, but it's the same thing. Why? Because the spirit of truth is doing it. A spirit-filled church is made up of people who all have the same thing on their minds because it's the same truth being taught and illuminated to all. It's not different. The spirit of truth isn't teaching you something different than it's teaching me. If it is, then it cannot be the spirit of what? It can't be the spirit of truth. So how do we all end up on the same page doing the same thing? It's not hocus pocus, and it's not self-generated either, folks. This early church didn't say, in other words, it's not Christian peer pressure. You need to act like us because we're all acting the same. And if you want to be in the group, you need to act like us. Okay, I'll act like you then to get into the group. That's not what's going on. They are naturally doing this because it is the Spirit of the living God working in them. In other words, it's not made up. It's not the little train that could. I think I can be a Christian. I think I can. I know it's a big hill, but chug, 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 I'm going to get up the hill. That's not what they're doing. All right? It's in them. They can't help but do these things. Now, when that spirit of truth enters, and let's go back here and just grab this thought. Acts 1, and they all continued in one accord in what? All right, you want to know what you need to be praying for this summer? You need to be praying and supplicating God that we would be of one passion. That's what they were doing, right? Acts 1:14, they were doing this. And they can bank on that because there's one spirit working in all of us. And that one spirit's guiding you to the same place. It's guiding me to the same place. There's not 14 different kingdoms of God, are there? How many kingdoms of God are there? There's one. And there's not 10 kings, there's one king. And there's not 100 different truths, there's one truth. And he's leading all of us to the same place. So we all eventually are going to get there. But there's a couple of questions that are going to answer that. You ever had somebody in your family do that DNA thing? My brother got one for Christmas. What's one of the products called? Something 23. You know what I'm talking about? You'd give a sample of something and they do your DNA test and tell where you're from. Am I the only one that, anybody know that? Ancestry. Yeah, Ancestry.com. You send it in, and they come back and you are 80% Scandinavian, you're 5% Polish, you're blah, 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 blah. All right? Spiritually speaking, when you send in your sample to Ancestry.com, all of ours come back the same. You're not different than me, and I'm not different from you at our core. Because it's that spirit of what? Truth. That's making, God's not trying to make me something he's not trying to make you. And he's not trying to make you something different than he's not trying to make me. We're all after the same thing, to be conformed into the image of Christ. That's where I'm going. So all of us who are being led by the Spirit of Truth, all of us know who we are. And who I am is not different than who you are. Oh, physically, but not spiritually. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Who are you? The exact same thing, right? By the grace of God, I'm a son of God. What are you? Same thing. By the grace of God, I once was in darkness, but now I am in light. What about you? Once I was lost, but now I am. What about you? We're all the same. So it's no wonder we're all headed in the same direction. You ever seen truly identical twins? They get separated at birth and they meet each other when they're 30 or 40. They've married ladies that have the same name, that have the same occupation, and they themselves are doing the same thing. How does that happen? Because they're what? They're the same. And what we need to realize, you and I aren't any different than our spiritual grandpas and grandmas. What Moses was, you are. What Paul was, you are. What John the Baptist was, you are. What Mary was, you are. What Elizabeth was, you are. You're not different. You're the same. I know who I am, and I know what I'm to be. You know what you're to be. Be ye holy, for I am holy. You know what you're to be. I'm to be a witness. I'm to be an ambassador. Nothing different for me than you. I know what I'm to be. I know who I am. I know what I'm to be. And I know what I'm to do. Go out. Jesus told his apostles, go out and make what? Disciples. I know what I'm to do. So when that spirit of truth leads me, I'm trying to show us logically, I'm trying to show us from the Word of God, how come we all should be ending up at the same place? And when this early church, when it says they're one accord, which means one passion, that we can look at that and say, we could never be like that today. And I'm telling you, we can and we need to be. And there's no reason why we can't. When that spirit of truth comes, he tells me who I am. I'm the same as you are. He tells me what I'm to be, the same as you are to be. And he tells me what I'm to do, the same thing he's telling you to do. He's not telling me to do something different this summer that he's telling you. He's not. Maybe a different way to accomplish it, but not something different. He's not telling you to be something different than what I'm to be this summer. He's not telling you to be something as an individual that I'm not to be. All of us are identical. It's the same Lord, the same Spirit working within us. That's why we all need to be going to the same place and have the same passion. Then, how do we get this done? Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive what? Power. Now, there's no short supply of power for us to get this done. what's in short supply, maybe, is obedience. The power part of the problem is not the problem. The power part of the problem is done. We spent almost a whole year, Pastor Corey and I, trying to secure gas to make sure there was heat, because we were so afraid, in May especially, that there wouldn't be any heat and we'd come into the church building and we would be cold, which some of you may say today, I love to be cold today. But we weren't going to have the supply, what we needed to make this happen. That cannot be said for you and me regarding power to get God's work done. What is in short supply, if anything is in short supply, is our obedience. And this is what we have to be careful of. When you disobey on a regular basis, I become hard-hearted. All right? You cannot obey frequently and say, this doesn't have any impact on me. Yes, it does. And it's usually what I have found in Christianity, most Christians are 90% compliant. As a rule, on most 9 out of 10 things, 8 out of 10 things, when God says something, they're going to do it. But it's that other 20, that other 10% that get us into trouble. The illustration is the Pharisees. The illustration is Pharaoh. Let my people, okay, one miracle, we can do that. I'm not letting them go. Next miracle, we can do that. I'm not letting them go. And after a while it says, and Pharaoh's heart was, because he kept saying, no. And don't think, oh, I'm a child of God, that's not going to happen to me. It is going to happen to you. And then pretty soon, you're not even going to be sensitive to that topic anymore. It's not even, when the meter ought to be going off registering sin, it's not even going to go off anymore. Because your heart in that area is so hard, it doesn't even register. So for example, I'll just use this because a lot of people struggle with it. Witnessing. Talking to other people about the individual who saved your life. And God says, just say something. And you don't. You start doing that attitude, pretty soon you're not even going to be sensitive that that person doesn't even know Jesus Christ. It's not even going to register that you need to say anything. It's not even registered that that person may not know Jesus Christ. That's what happens. You can't say no. And it's not, the power is not there. Pastor Grover, I stumble over words. A lot of people stumble over words. That was the excuse who gave God? Moses. All right, so I can't speak. So a lot of Christian organizations took that excuse off the table because they started printing the words and putting it on a piece of paper, and all you have to do is what? Give it to them. You don't even have to say anything. All right. So we pray. We become one passion because it's that same spirit. The next question is, Pastor Grover, how am I going to get this done? You know me. I'm shy, I'm backwards, I'm not comfortable speaking. The power's there. The power's there. It's the obedience that's going to be your issue. And the men and I went through a book called Immediate Obedience, and you don't have to read the book, you just have to recite that title. When God tells you to do something, the best response is just do it right now. Because you know as well as I, you start thinking about it. What happens when you start thinking about it? You start talking yourself what? Out of it. All right. And when the day of Pentecost, so what happens? We have these one set of people, they're one passion, they're in a room, they're praying to the Spirit of the living God to come upon them. And that spirit's going to guide them into all truth. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? They're all still one passioned. They all had the same passion. They could have got up and walked. Remember, if they don't come up with their own food each and every day, they're not eating. It's not like they can run home to the freezer and pull something out and put it in the microwave and eat. If they stay in that room, they don't know where that meal's coming from. So I just wanted us to get out of the mindset. It was such a simpler time. No wonder. It's not a complicated world like our world is complicated. We just can't do that kind of stuff. They did, and just as much was going on as going on in your life. Maybe more. They're one passioned. Acts 2:46, and they continued daily with their what? With their one passion. Now, Pastor Grover, that's not practical for us. We live so far away. I get that. But after being to Jerusalem, I'm telling you, at minimum, they walked 15 to 20, probably 30 minutes to get back to their houses. Jerusalem wasn't some compact city where everybody was one. They were spread out. In other words, to gather together daily took some effort on their part. But they had a what? They had one what? They had a passion about it. And that's what I think the church of America, and I'm talking all churches, all people that claim Jesus Christ, I think what we need revival in is getting back our one passion, that one thing. I mean, there's so you go down to the Christian bookstore or any bookstore, and there's a section on Christianity, and you can walk up one aisle and down the other, and it's how to do this, how to do that, how to do this other thing, because there's a lot going on in any Christian life, right? There's a lot of things that need to be addressed, but we can't lose sight of the one passion that makes all these other things happen. We get so consumed with a subcategory, which I'm not saying is not something you need to be concerned about, but we can't lose sight of the one passion from which all this other falls from. And they continue daily with one passion in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. I'm glad we're able to live stream and have our viewers, especially when we have illnesses and people can't make it. It keeps you up to date with what's going on in the sermon. But I'm telling you, it's hard to capture passion through the television screen. It's if between that and nothing, choose the screen. But if it's between that and being here, choose here. Because you know as well as I do, this happened. The first time we did the live stream, you got your clothes on, like you're going to church. And it wasn't long. Nobody can see me. Just leave the old PJs on. Right? And then there's no law I have to sit up during a message. I can recline. Again, that was better than nothing. I praise the Lord that we had that. But it just can lead to relaxation of a lot of things. And that one church with that one spirit leading them to the one place had one passion, and they had to be together to share it. Here's the one thing as well that we need that Paul had. How much does Paul have going on in his life? I mean, what's his to-do list look like? We're looking at his missionary trip, and he says, now listen, I'm gathering up this money. I want to go down to Jerusalem, but once I get done with Jerusalem, I want to go to Rome, and I want to end up in Spain. He's got his trips planned out. He's got the cares of all the churches going on. But look at the one thing Paul wants. I mean, you talk about a plate full of things to do. He's one of them. He's got a plate full. But what things were gained to me? Those I counted for Christ. See, it's my passion. I want to get at the root of my passion. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of who? Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. You ever seen an athlete? They don't eat this, they don't eat the other thing, they run, they don't do that, they don't do the other thing. Why not? Because they have a passion for their sport and they're willing to sacrifice to get where they want to be. And we all esteem them. Man, I wish I was that disciplined. Well, Paul's the same thing, but spiritual. And somehow we look at that and say, nah. No, we need to embrace this. We need to desire this, to be willing to give up these temporal things that this world just bombards us with, all these advertisements. You need this. How in the world have you lived 50 years without this other thing? And let me assure you, you need this as well. And why don't you have 5 gigs, 60 gigs? If your computer takes one nanosecond to change screens, how do you live with that? And Paul says, listen, I have one passion and I got to get that. I have to obtain that passion. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, it's hard to walk away from personal dreams, but you have to do that when they interfere with your passion. It's hard to walk away from something, depending on when you got saved, you've been working all your life to obtain, and God's asking you just put that away. You'll do it if it's your passion. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. And sometimes you have to forget the boneheaded decisions that you made prior to your salvation, and some even during your salvation. Because it'll rob you of your passion. Is Jesus remembering your past? No, he's not. He's passionate about your what? Your future, your today and your tomorrow. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the high mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what we have to see. Christianity isn't part of my life. Christianity needs to be your life. That's your high calling. All the other things, young people who graduated high school and such, you've got a lower calling. That could be whatever that professional career or being a parent or whatever that. That's not your high calling. That's just a calling. There is a high calling that God has summoned us to, and that is to be part of his kingdom and what he desires, the who I am, the what I'm to be, and the what I am to be doing. That's your high calling. And we as parents need to project that. That's what we're interested in. Yes, we're glad you went to school and you became this, that, or the other thing. Very proud of you. But our desire is that you fulfill your high calling. That's what excites us as your parent. So wrapping this up, so if God were to say, this is what's going to happen, I'm going to say, ready, set, go, and without your control, you're going to go where your mind's at. You're just going to get up and go do it. And he said, ready, set, go, where would we end up? The early church ended up in one place, all doing the one thing, because they all had the one passion. So as we approach our unraveling of, we get to obtain more freedom. More things are on the table this summer. More options. Last year, a couple options. Some of you, no options. A lot more options on the table. Young people, a lot more options on the table this summer. A lot more distractions, things you, I'm not saying don't enjoy, but we cannot lose our passion. So we need one passion. You need to add this to your prayer sheet. We need to pray for the Spirit of truth to be poured out. Because if we're all led by the same truth, we're all going to end up at the same what? The same place, doing the same. Because there's not multiple truths. We need to be led by that Spirit. We need to rely on His power, which there's no short supply of. And we need to do, it seems to me like there's, is there a kid song, Obedience? Yep, I knew there was. I am not going to sing it. But that's power, you know, power's not lacking for you. There's no way power's lacking. If God can create this world with His words, He can certainly handle you and me with His words. What's lacking, young people, it's not your mom and dad are mean people and they don't understand you. They do understand you. Your problem probably is your obedience. That's what I found. And lastly, at the end of this, I'm not preaching we do X, Y, and Z so we get A, so we get a bunch of tin soldiers just marching in line with no feelings. The end of this is my passion's going to lead to a deeper knowledge of the Savior who loved me enough to die for me. That's what it's after. And when you set it in your heart and mind to know Him with all your strength, and I set it with my heart and mind to love Him and know Him with all my strength, and this whole church does this, come October, this fall, we're not going to be separated. We're not going to be distant. We're going to be all on the same page doing the same thing. Because it's all the same passion. That's what we're after. And I'm not saying we're a divided church. I'm just saying if we want to be everything that God wants this church to be, and I think God has great expectations of us. He certainly would. You know, Michael has saved that Maranatha. You know, if we get a few things out of them, great. Other than that, not really concerned. Look at them. All right, we'll do the best. Is that what He's thinking of this church? I hope you're not thinking that. I think He has great expectations. Look what He did with 12 fishermen. We've got way more than that in here. And we'll get to where God wants us if we have the same passion. And it's not a thing, it's a person. It's the person who died to set you free, to set me free, to translate me from Satan's kingdom to His kingdom. Certainly to do that is not a big request. So I hope we have a great summer. I hope you're able to get outside if that's what you enjoy. I hope you're able to go on vacation. I hope you're able to go fishing, grow a garden. You know, I'm finding out growing a garden is like raising another kid. Every day I check on it. Sometimes it needs weeding. Sometimes it needs water. Sometimes there's bugs on it. Need to be, not the children have bugs. But they could, I guess. I hope your garden's great. I hope you get to enjoy every tomato, cucumber, carrot that comes from it. But let's not lose our passion. Let's not let these things crowd out Christ. Because there's going to be some more opportunities to go out and be that light in our community. Not as many as probably prior to COVID, and we're just being a little more cautious as a church on that. But that's not stopping any one of you from going out and doing what God is laying on your heart. And what God's laying on your heart, He's laying on our hearts. Because it's the same Spirit guiding us. So let's be praying. If you don't know what to pray for this church, pray for that power, pray for that Spirit to lead all of us to that same truth and have that same passion. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Jesus Christ. Lord, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for Christ. There are so many different interests represented here, not wrong interests, just humanity. We have different interests. But You have pulled us together as a local body to have, because we should have all the same passion, all striving for the same goal, all striving to know the same Savior. Help us, Lord, to live these things out by your grace and your strength. Lord, help us if we have lost sight of that passion. Somewhere it got lost, something came up, something distracted us. Lord, may we refocus, retooled on you. And Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're dismissed.